Before we turn to sports in the news and introduce Scott and Aaron, listener to the program, a good friend, his name is Fred, sent me a quick email during the break, and it reads as follows. I would venture to say, if every Muslim on the planet put down their weapons, peace would ensue so quickly our heads would spin. Israel would celebrate the peace, but if Israel put down its weapons, the country and its people wouldn't last a week. Think about that. That being the case, I want to turn to South Florida first. This article is brought to us by the Washington Post. Ex-Florida, a star tight end, Aaron Hernandez, jailed while awaiting trial in the killings of three men, is Mr. July in the Florida Gators 2014 sports calendar and is featured in a Patriots calendar produced by the same company. What do you think, fellas?
That's a bold marketing strategy. That's a bold move.
Yeah, we're talking about it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, even the Patriots had the dignity to not only immediately stop offering Aaron Hernandez jerseys, but asking all Patriot fans who had an Aaron Hernandez jersey to bring it back, and that the Patriots says we'll pay full price for it. We don't want any association with him. And in fact, the moment that it was announced that he had been arrested for the murder of the guy up there in the park near his home, the Patriots said, we have no association with him. We've dropped him from our team. We're not going to try to trade him, salvage him. Complete distancing. Have you ever heard a complete distancing by the Florida Gators from Aaron Hernandez?
No. No, I haven't.
Matter of fact,
and the guy's name is Odin Lloyd, by the way.
Odin Lloyd. I'm sorry. Yeah, I knew it was Odin, and I couldn't remember his last name, and it sounded silly just to listen to his first name, Odin Lloyd.
Yep.
Sorry to Odin Lloyd's family.
Yep.
And by the way, the reason that the New England Patriots immediately disassociated themselves from Aaron Hernandez following his arrest for the murder of Odin Lloyd is because the case against Aaron Hernandez, if you read the evidence that police has in terms of text messages and cell phone locations and cooperative testimony and the like, it is so overwhelming. I mean, it's almost as overwhelming as the O.J. murders, a decade or so ago, 20 years ago.
And his own security footage.
Yeah. We're right after, I mean, it's like a four-minute drive from where the murder took place to his home, and his own security footage shows him arriving 4 minutes later in his home carrying a gun.
Yep.
Of the same caliber that was used in the murder. Yeah. So I mean, it's black and white. He murdered Odin Lloyd. But the thing was interesting that at the same time as all of this, journalists went to the then coach of the Florida Gators, who won two national championships and who had a tendency to bring in thugs. I think at one time there were 30 criminals on the Florida Gators football team, and ask him, there were police reports of him going into bars, getting drunk, and beating people up and threatening to kill them while he was a Florida Gator. Why did you cover it up? Why did you deal with it? Why didn't you kick him off the football team? And you know what the response was? Not my problem.
Not my problem. He helps me win football games.
Yeah, that's the whole mindset.
Which, man, that's a pretty crappy point of view to take on it.
Oh yeah, and he's now the head coach at Ohio State.
Yeah, Urban Meyer.
Yep. Urban Meyer. Yeah, I think he's one of the most disgusting people in college athletics. You know, he knows how to win, but he is just as happy to have criminals playing for him as anybody else.
Which then there are attacks, you know, a lot of coaches will tell you, like, oh, I'm a coach because I like to mold young men, things like
well,
that.
Well, he's obviously molding them in the wrong direction. But in this particular case, Florida, University of Florida is saying, hey, you know, it's not our fault. We gave them the authorization. Once we gave them the authorization, we didn't think twice about it. And this was all pre-produced long before Aaron Hernandez was arrested. And listen, I've been in the media business a long time, and I know what the cycles are for producing a graphic calendar out of existing photographs. And if you want to believe that a year ago that this calendar, which is now on sale in Target stores and other places, was put together and that it couldn't be changed, and it was actually printed a year ago. Because it was put together over a year ago and wasn't printed, you simply make the change. But no, it's just like everything else with the University of Florida. It's just a sea of lies covering up lies.
Yeah, Florida doesn't have a very good reputation with their sports teams and doing the right thing.
No, you've got a double rapist as the quarterback of Florida State. You got the Miami program that only exists today and hasn't been given the death penalty because the NCAA botched its investigation of boosters giving bags of money to players. No, it's Florida and the SEC in general don't have a very good reputation. This idea that, you know, there's some form of molding young men in a moral way in SEC and Florida schools, that just doesn't hold water.
Yeah.
sad story. And just another blight on college football. Well, in the World Cup, I've got to tell you that the fact that the U.S. has been knocked out of the World Cup and it's no longer dominating ESPN and other news sources, nor even the mainstream media, oh, good relief. What about you guys?
Yeah. Go ahead, Aaron.
I didn't have a ton of exposure to it because I usually avoid some of those. But, yeah, I mean, even just Facebook feeds and things like that, people that I know didn't care were trying really hard to make it look like they did.
Yeah, it was because it was a sign of your patriotism as to whether or not you were a zealot for the American team. I don't think many Americans even knew who the players were on the American team. The most famous American player didn't even make the club. And so I think it was just a sign of patriotism. You know, my country is better than your country.
See, I'm a little different than you guys on this. I like the World Cup. I think it's other than the organization that throws it, and obviously I'm not giving any money to it, but I actually enjoy the World Cup. It's probably the only time I ever watch soccer. And I usually cheer for Brazil. So, yeah, I've enjoyed it. I've liked it.
Yeah, I've been told that FIFA actually stands for floppers faking injury for attention. That's what FIFA stands for. Faking injury for attention. It's I can't watch it. And the reason I can't watch it is the flopping. It is just disgusting to me. I don't like the idea they haven't figured out how to manage their clock, and the game is so boring. There's so little strategy, and that the flopping is so ridiculous, and the whining is so ridiculous. I just don't get into it. I understand that it is a passionate game for lots of people, but there's just not enough strategy to it for me.
I'm not going to go quite that far. I think there might be some amount of strategy, and I'm just not aware of it. I'm really not into it. I don't know anybody that's into it. So I think it might be a little bit deeper than I take it at face value. It just doesn't appeal to me terribly.
Yeah, it's in terms of strategy, it's not near what like on a football team. They're trying to come up with an offensive strategy then play that's going to go against what they think the defensive is going to oppose it with, and how the two strategies come together with each play, or the strategy that goes into each play in baseball or basketball. It's even not consistent with the line changes and trying to put together the right lines in hockey. And golf, the way you dissect a golf course, and it's, while there may be some strategy, and I wouldn't say that there's none, the strategy is not nearly as obvious, not nearly as deep, not nearly as far-ranging as it is in the sports that are favorites of mine. I like thinking sports.
Yeah, I mean, it's an entire game where they eliminate half your body. I mean,
yeah, they do.
But I agree with Aaron on this. I don't know enough about it, and I don't watch it enough to where and it's not like I'm setting time outside of my day to watch it. But if I'm flipping through the channel and I see that the World Cup is playing, I'm watching it. I've turned it on.
I'm not. I didn't even watch the American games. It is interesting, by the way, in the quarterfinals, with one exception, France via Germany, it was Europe via the Americas. And in the semifinals, same thing. Every game is a European country against one of the Americas. I think that this idea that soccer really is a worldwide sport, although it's played in countries around the world, the powerhouse for soccer is the Americas and Europe. The rest of the world is to a large degree pretenders.
Yeah, what is it? Netherlands and Germany and Brazil and Argentina.
Brazil and Germany, the Netherlands and Argentina.
So
two South American countries, two Northern European countries going at it. There was an interesting move in baseball. Surprising in a way. But Baltimore's Nelson Cruz. Nelson Cruz previously had been with the Texas Rangers. He served a 50-game suspension for using performance-enhancing drugs last year. And this year he's been voted to start in the All-Star game. When the shatteringness continues after the commercial break, I'll ask the fellows what they think about going from druggie to star. So what do you fellows think? Nelson Cruz, known, proven, PED user, suspended for 50 games as a result of using performance-enhancing drugs, has now been voted to start the All-Star game. Is this the new approach to steroids, to testosterone, to human growth hormones? Are we just going to look the other way? What do you think about baseball's crusade against them, original support of them, and the future as it relates to performance-enhancing drugs in baseball?
Is the MLB All-Star Game still voted by fans? Who plays?
Yes.
Okay. Then I think that makes it, two things. It makes it so that it seems like fans don't really care about PEDs. They care about performance.
Yeah, look at Braun. I don't think you can have a worse case than Braun. Braun not only used PEDs and has admitted now using PEDs, but one caught, he threw the guy that was making, $1.98 an hour, the tester, under the bus and vociferously lied to everybody about it. And yet the fans have welcomed him back with open arms. Now, in his case, I don't get that. I would boo him out of town. But it's true. The fans only seem to care about, can you perform for me today?
I think with baseball in particular, that at some point they should either just allow it or regulate it. Because for the last 10, 15 years, it surrounds every major baseball story, PEDs and steroids and tests. Something will come up. I think the long-term answer is going to be they're going to have to kind of own it rather than say, no, nobody can do this, and then every player that has a great season has rumors surrounding him about that, it seems like.
Yeah, particularly as you go back to the era prior to testing. It's obvious that Barry Bonds used steroids, but most of the time that he used them prior to the time that they were expressly banned and there was test for them. Do you deal with those guys the same way? And what about a guy like Piazza, the best offensive catcher in the history of baseball, and he didn't get a first ballot vote into the Hall of Fame only because there is some very low level rumors that he couldn't have been as strong as he was unless at some time in his life he used them, even though there is no evidence of any kind that he did.
Well, see, that's what I think the problem is that with these things, baseball has been so hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
So hypocritical. When Bonds and Sosa were right after the strike, this mostly started after the strike season, when they went on strike, baseball was so, their numbers were so low, and they were deteriorating.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you had McGuire and Sosa come out.
Right.
McGuire had been a home run hitter, for most of his career, or his whole career.
And he was a gym rat. I mean, he spent almost all of his free time in the gym.
Yeah, he spent all his free time in the gym. So when he came out and he was a big guy, it was, he's always been big. But Sosa was a completely different thing. Sosa came out of nowhere.
Right.
He had never done that stuff before. Yeah, and also now he was that jacked guy. And baseball did everything they could to promote those two.
Right. Does it revive the game?
Revive the game. And, chicks dig the long ball. And that was their slogan. And now all of a sudden, baseball got called out on this, And now all of a sudden it's, we didn't know. We couldn't, all these things. But yet, now they're so bad. They're so horrible. But
and I'm wondering even on some of these things. For example, the human growth hormone. Human growth hormone exists because there are those who are deficient in it, and it is prescribed, and it is a benefit. It's also prescribed if somebody has a horrible injury, it can speed the process of that injury. So the fact that it can speed the process of an injury, if somebody is injured, why would you preclude them using something that would help them heal more quickly? As it relates to taking testosterone, there are lots of people who are low on it. And so it is prescribed by doctors to elevate the body's ability to produce it for those who are low on it. Now, I understand that there's other steroids. And by the way, if I were to injure myself and get swelling in a joint and the swelling is causing pain and I were to go to the doctor, he would prescribe steroids for me. It's hard for me to say all of this is bad, all of this should be banned, and we should talk about all these people as cheaters when, I'm a free will guy. You ought to be able to do with your body what you want. Is it really cheating? We'll be back and consider that topic after the break. Welcome back to Shattering This. We've been talking about performance-enhancing drugs, particularly in baseball. But what do you guys think about it? What is the answer? Is the media making too big a deal out of it? Should we really care?
I guess what I would say is first make it... let players use it to recover from injury, because that's its original use. It's really good at doing that.
Yes.
And you shouldn't not let a player do that just because you're afraid he might be doping. And then past that, either let it be legal, just let players, if they want to do whatever to their own bodies, they're adults, they can do that. Or ban it, but be consistent with your punishments and how you... like you guys were saying, they were promoting McGuire and all of them, while at the same time, now they're backing on that. So either make it legal or don't, but be consistent.
Yeah, I think McGuire's case, he was taking those supplements that weightlifters take because he was such a gym rat that help more effectively get rid of fat and convert your exercise into muscle. I myself have taken steroids prescribed by a doctor when I've had joint injury and the inflammation around the joint that is not only causing pain but is prohibiting healing. And so, you know, as you say, these products were specifically designed and are routinely prescribed for that purpose. So, you know, why wouldn't we allow our athletes to take advantage of them for that purpose?
I think you should. I think you should. One, it's you're using it for the when you're using it the right way. You're not doing it to increase your performance, but your body's been hurt, you've been injured,
right?
And you're using it for what it's actually made for. And it betters people's lives. It makes things better for your body to recover from those things. Things that are, in some cases, horrific things.
Yeah. Now, in the case of people who didn't use it for healing, but used it to make them stronger and bigger, like Barry Bonds, perhaps we should have a different view of Barry Bonds, because it's obvious if you look at his body type and the kind of player he was. Fast and a line drive hitter to big, bulky, and a home run hitter when he started using a full array, full cocktails of performance-enhancing drugs. I mean, he literally became a Frankenstein of an athlete as a direct result of the drugs.
Well, I mean, he went from hitting, 25 to 35 home runs in a year to all of a sudden hitting, 40, 50, 73 home runs in a year.
He doubled. He doubled his production of home runs, and while he probably added 3 inches to his hat size, and his entire physique profoundly changed. He had all of the visible signs of a major drug user. He manifest.
Yeah, and it was.
Yeah.
He was one guy during his Pittsburgh playing days, and
yes.
Then he became an
entirely different guy.
Just not an entirely different guy, because like I said, he was still hitting 25, 30 home runs.
Had good muscle reflex, good eye-hand coordination. I mean, the ability to pick up the rotation on a ball when it leaves the pitcher's hand, and then get your bat in the right position is something that he was born with those abilities. It's just that he augmented those abilities artificially in strength.
That's what makes Barry Bonds so weird, like such a weird case, is because the reports were that he got the jealousy of the promotion of two guys that he knew were doing steroids.
Yeah.
It pushed him to, well, fine, I'll do them too. And then for him to go to, if he would have just had the same career that he had at Pittsburgh, and just had those stats and kept.
Oh, of course, he'd have been
a Hall of Famer,
and he wouldn't be despised by people like me. I mean, there are two guys in the steroids era that are just nasty people that I don't feel any compassion for, and I'm almost glad that they're rung over the coals. One is Barry Bonds. And the other is A-Rod. Both of them are miserable human beings. And so there's the one place where my fandom, because I just don't like them as people, overrides, would cause me to take a different side on the issue. Otherwise, stop making such a big deal about it.
You Dodger fans.
Yeah, I am a Dodger fan. There's no I am actually a waning Dodger fan because I can't watch the Dodgers on television anymore because of the cable deal that was done. So I'm more of an Angel fan now than I'm a Dodger fan. My entire Dodger fandom now is every other day I'll read the L.A. Times sports section to see what happened the previous day. So I'm quickly losing interest in my Dodgers because I can't follow them. But I was raised in Southern California. I was raised a Dodger fan, and so San Francisco as a whole, and the Giants in particular are persona non grata in my family. That's the whole purpose of being a fan, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, at least I've admitted my my prejudice in this case.
And you know, it's not unearned. In both cases, it's not unearned. I don't like how I like Barry Bonds. He's the best baseball player next to Ken Griffey Jr. that I've ever seen play the game of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that either one of those players couldn't do, and Bonds started doing steroids, and Griffey got hurt.
Yeah, and the guy that I would say is the most exciting player I've ever watched, the most talented baseball player, would be Mike Trout. I would say Mike Trout is a better baseball player across the board than was Bonds or Ken Griffey or anybody else. But
maybe.
But nonetheless, early in his career, he was fast. He could steal bases. He could play the outfield because of his speed, and he was a very effective hitter.
Yeah, and then there's no doubt that, you know, Bonds did steroids and things like that. But at the same time, that doesn't diminish what he did in the game, because now it's been shown that there's more pitchers that have done steroids than batters. And it doesn't diminish things for me. That's part of the game, the way it was at that time.
You've got Clements and others that were juicing at the same time and for the same reasons to combat the benefit provided to the hitters.
It's the steroid era,
and
you shouldn't you hold them to the status of their era, and just like there's no reason even if Piazza, who did not do steroids, because Piazza was the same guy throughout his entire career.
Never changed.
Never changed.
Right.
Only thing he did was get, you know, chubbier.
he did.
There's no way that even he was in the steroid era. How can you be so hypocritical? And, you know, if I could show you reports from all these people 2 years before Bonds left the game of baseball that would tell you how great Barry Bonds was at baseball and how he's the best player that they've ever seen, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, 2 years later, all that stuff, none of that matters anymore, you know.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, Barry Bonds and the other guy you mentioned,
A-Rod,
they're jerks.
They're jerks.
They're spoiled, rotten kids.
Right. So I'd be happy to forget everything related to steroids and performance-enhancing drugs, and let's just go on with the games, with the exception of those two guys. I'm rather enjoying. Well, and Braun, man. Braun is such a jerk that those three guys, let them carry the stain not so much of their drug use, of their just disgusting personality.
You want to know how to beat the steroids in the steroid era and all that stuff? Look at Nelson Cruz. Take him, for example.
Yep.
Did you do it? Yeah, I did it. Okay, I don't care. You did it. You admitted. You weren't a,
time. You're caught.
You weren't a jerk.
Right.
You know, you did your 50-game suspension.
Right. Go on.
You know, which these are 50 games unpaid suspension. That's a pretty good chunk of change, you know.
Yeah.
So
call it a day. You paid your fine. Let's go on.
Name somebody that's come out and said that they did it and that they were apologetic for doing it, and you know. You don't have to be apologetic. You just have to say you did it.
The Yankees did it. Yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it. I'm sorry. I did it. I'm embarrassed that I did it.
I did it.
And I'll let you ask me any question you want to about me doing it. And he did. And no cover-up. And he was accepted back the following day.
Yeah. Hey, but you don't have to be apologetic for it. You can just say, I did it. You know, ask me any question that you want.
But see, that's the difference in the three that I still want to held accountable. They've all lied and blamed everybody but themselves.
And I think that before Bonds makes the Hall of Fame, because he's eventually going to make the Hall of Fame, eventually they're going to let Pete Rose in, probably.
Well, you know, with Pete Rose, it's just so amazing that there is no issues whatsoever during his playing career. He's not the only time that he's got an issue is that he bet on baseball. And by the way, baseball needs gambling. I'm not a gambler, but the part of the popularity of football versus baseball is that most people that watch football have something riding on the games. The majority of football fans bet on the game. I don't. But majority of football enthusiast fans bet on the game, and a tiny minority of baseball fans do. The crime that he committed is the thing, maybe one of the things that baseball actually needs.
Look at one of the best parts about a football season. Most people want to talk fantasy football.
The lines, right.
Fantasy football, though, that's another form of gambling. Oh,
yes, of course it is. And they're talking about the lines. And my sons and I will pick up the phone and, you know, by gambling, we'll sometimes weeks where we're all together, you know, we'll put down $5 apiece. And try to predict each of the games based on the lines, and it's fun to do. But in the Pete Rose case, he should be in the Hall of Fame for his play, and he was never considered a Hall of Famer as a manager. And his crime of gambling on the game was as a manager. So, you know, put him in the Hall of Fame for his play and say, you know, you can't be in the Hall of Fame as a manager, and because you did cheat on baseball or bet on baseball as a manager, in your resume in the Hall of Fame, we're going to say, you know, you got caught on this night, it later admitted to it, but it had no influence on you, the evaluation of you as a player, perhaps the best hitter the game has ever seen, and one of the most exciting players to ever play the game. We'll be back with Shattering Myths and the Miami Big Three. Even Don Sterling makes the news. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. This is an interesting episode in the news in the world of sports. Don Sterling, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers.
Former owner.
Well, he's still the owner of the Clippers. You know that his wife orchestrated a sale. The league approved the sale, but the courts have not weighed in on this. His wife said that he could not function as the owner, and therefore she was the de facto owner of the team because he had been suffering from Alzheimer's, and that she had doctor reports that indicated it. Now, he wants the doctor's reports that he has Alzheimer's thrown out because he says that after the testing with one of the doctors, he went out to dinner and had drinks with said doctor. What do you think about the latest from Don Sterling?
Well, I guess the attempts I would try and do, I'd want to keep my stay owner of the team and things like that. But I don't think it's going to happen. You're allowed to go out and have drinks with your doctor, aren't you? There's nothing.
I've never had drinks with my doctor, but I don't know how having drinks with your doctor and dinner with your doctor somehow skews the test results as to whether or not you have Alzheimer's. You would think that if the doctor was your pal and not just operating as a doctor, he's going to have the tendency to give you a clean bill of health than he is going to say, oh, by the way, you're mentally incompetent because you have Alzheimer's. You don't even know your own name, pal, from half the time.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick with what I've been saying from the beginning and I'd just go with my crazy old man theory. I mean, I think he does have mental health issues and should just go sit in the corner by himself in the dark, and people don't need to. I mean, stop putting yourself out in the media. I mean, if somebody says, oh, you have Alzheimer's. No, I drank with my doctor.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I would just go one clarification on that. It struck me the moment I heard the tape that this was a man who had lost his cognitive ability. The recording that he had by the whore that he was trying to put in quotes date, and she was a prostitute that he was trying to date, who broke the law and surreptitiously recording him and then tried to blackmail his wife with the recording, so she broke the law twice, that what it revealed is that he was absolutely, had lost his mind, that he was out of his mind, it was obvious, and that he was a disgusting individual. So I'd love to see the family, you know, try to comfort him, because he has lost his mind. I don't think the world should be lashing out against him just because he is a disgusting old man who has lost his mind, but God, if we just go away, he does need to let go of that team.
Yeah, and I wish he would be at the point to where he would be Because some people have to be telling him that. He's got to have somebody around him that's telling him, hey, Donald, come on.
Oh, man.
Come on, let's get you the help you need.
Right. There is really no help for Alzheimer's. I mean, once you have it, you drift into oblivion. But let's at least get you isolated into a place that you're no longer harming your reputation, your legacy, and that of your children.
Yeah, and but he probably doesn't want to listen to it. He, in his mind, he probably thinks he is okay.
Yeah, and in his moments where he is lucid, he still wants to be the big-time operator that's a billionaire and the owner of an NBA team. And he can't. Part of Alzheimer's, too, is it renders your cognitive abilities so limited that he's not a person that you could reason with. It's a person you ought to feel sorry for. But the fact is that he was not a nice guy even before he got Alzheimer's, so it's hard to feel much sympathy for him. Well, guys, I'd like to end on the big three. What are you predicting is going to happen with LeBron James and Chris Bosh relative to their free agency? I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going to happen to D. Wade. He's going to go back to Miami. No one else will pay him anywhere near what Miami's would be willing to pay him. What about the other two guys?
The rumor is LeBron back to Cleveland, which is mind-blowing to me.
Zero chance. I'd say zero chance of that. I think that's a media hype. There is no way. When Gilbert made all the disparaging comments that he made against LeBron, I think there's a 0% possibility. Oh, I'd say 1%. You can never read in people's minds. But why would he go play for an owner that spoke so disparagingly of him?
I don't know why he would. That's why it's shocking to me. I didn't even think that they had a chance. So
yeah, and look at Chris Bosh, loyal to the end. Says, you know, I'm not going to even entertain offers from other teams until the issue with LeBron is solved. If LeBron stays, I'll stay. If LeBron goes, then you know, I'll go. Pretty classy guy. That's why he's my favorite player in the game.